My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
You come from here, I come from there. You rock out in your room, I rock a world premiere. We're more alike than anybody could ever tell. Friday we're cool, Monday we're gleeks. Sometimes we rule, sometimes we can't even speak. But we kick it off, let loose and LOL. LOL. This is a long one. It may seem cliche for me to want to say that you're not alone. And you can call me uncool, but it's a simple fact. This is the mini-sode. Yeah, yeah, cause we're one and the same. But anything but ordinary, one and the same. I think we're almost legendary.
Thank you, Caitlin, for suggesting that song. Best friend of the podcast. That was one of the same from the seminal classic, The Princess Protection Program, starring Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez.
Have you seen that movie?
Of course.
Okay, good.
So one of my like few brushes with Tumblr, because I was not a Tumblr teen, was Selena Gomez and Demi Lovato very, very famously in the Disney Channel arena were childhood best friends. They were on Barney together and Disney Channel loved shelling that out about like, oh my gosh, these real life best friends. That's why they freaking made Princess Protection Program, was to be like best friends and real life best friends in the show. And then as childhood best friends are wont to do, they slowly drifted apart. And I'm sure there was some drama there that I truly did not get into because I didn't super care personally, but you know, like something happened and the fandom split on if they were team Demi or team Selena. And I remember a Tumblr post that I was like, this is the wildest thing I ever saw, that it was someone coming after Selena Gomez and how she was so awful and like it was her fault, everything that happened, whatever happened. And then it said Selena Gomez, more like Selena Onomez, Lizards what? Of Waverly Place.
What?
And I literally,
what does that
I
mean?
Saw that post in probably like 2010. And to maybe like 2011, and I to this day will say Selena Onomez.
That is why you say that all the time. Oh my gosh.
Lizards of Waverly Place.
Waverly Place. Oy. The other day, you and me were at the Wizards, the Waverly Place subway station, and I was freaking out.
David
I
was Henry like, was
oh
there.
My gosh, I know.
He lives there in the subway station. He doesn't. He hasn't seen the sun in 10 years.
I cannot run that guy, I swear. He hasn't seen the sun. He lives in like the
tubes. In the underground. He's just like a, the rat king, just like running around the subway tracks, eating the trash that people drop.
Do you know what rat king
is? Yeah, it's a character in Hey Arnold. That's the fun definition. And B, it's a bunch of rats whose tails all got fused together and they just become one giant monster rat.
Yeah, and then they like carry each other's dead bodies around. I don't like to think about it.
Or it's three David Henry living in the Waverly Place subway station.
Lizards of Waverly Place.
Rat kings of Waverly Place.
That's us.
David Henry, more like David Ennui, rat kings of Waverly Place.
Rat King of Waverly Place. That was funny.
Thank you.
You're
thank
funny. You, where did you get that? Did you pre-plan that?
I did not. I did have a panic where I was like, can I come up with a rhyme for Henry this fast? And it was kind of a slant rhyme,
you
but
did. I liked it. I really liked it. That was funny.
Well, hello.
Oh my gosh.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being here at Minisode 64, Nintendo 64. Gosh. What?
Yeah.
I'm going to introduce...
You're 6'4 on your resume?
I'm not anymore. I stopped lying about it. I put 6'5.
Thank God.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself for the first time ever. I've been doing this podcast anonymously for like a year and a half now. And, you know, it was because I like to like separate my personal and my business life. But I think I'm brave enough that I'm going to come forward and say my name. So I know there's been a lot of theories of what my name could be. Mm-hmm. It is, in fact, Ian Allred.
Oh,
thank you.
Brave. Thank you. You are brave.
Thank you so
Yay.
Much. I
Proud
am unfortunately not a rat king, but I am also unfortunately a mini gleek.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up, everyone? You have always thought Lena does this podcast with like her anonymous co-host.
With her,
but you've always
just throwing her voice around.
Yeah. I know. There have been some theories that think that it's actually just me having a conversation with myself because I'm, you know.
A voice actor first.
Exactly. You know me. and it's just like a big, long experiment of mine. But actually, it's not. I'm glad people know. But you know me. You love me. My name is Lena Knatter. Oh, my gosh. And I'm unfortunately not a lizard.
Oh, man.
But fortunately, I have a mini gleek.
One of my favorite things I've ever seen. We're going to get to these emails so soon, everyone. I'm very sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I one time just like turned on TLC late at night. And if you're looking for a wild ride, turn on TLC after 10 p.m. They literally will air anything. And it
That's
was
where I air my dirty laundry.
Truly. But it was some reality show about a freak show, like in a circus. And they were interviewing people to be like the new freaks. And this woman came in. Her whole deal was that she was a snake woman, which literally just meant that she like held a snake, which I was like, I feel like I could do this. Like you have people who are like,
I'm a snake woman.
Like you have like contortionists in this. And then this woman just like holds essentially a boa that moves. Like I could do that. But
yeah.
It was just sketchy to me because she's the one that they hired and she clearly had the least impressive talent, but she also was the hottest one. And I was like, sure.
Classic.
But they're interviewing her and she talks about how she just like has a lot of experience because of her past lives. And then the guy is like, oh, like what were your past lives? And she's like, oh, I was in Atlantis. I was in Lumeria. I was a crystal healer.
Back it up.
Right. She was in Atlantis.
Yeah. Which, like, the lost city?
Yeah. Yes. As in, like, the lost city that sank in the Atlantic Ocean.
Uh-huh.
She was in Lumeria, which let's look up what Lumeria is. It's a hypothesized continent proposed in 1864 by zoologist Philip Sclater to have sunk beneath the Indian Ocean. So basically, Lumeria is the Atlantis of the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
And then she was a crystal healer. Notice that none of her past lives were like, I lived in Pittsburgh and like fixed toilets.
Yeah.
She was just like, I was on Mars. Like, okay, you really downgraded in a past life. You lived in a mystical city that sank in the ocean. And in this life, you're holding a snake. Okay. Well, this is our episode, contrary to popular belief.
I know. Well,
about
have a
the
great
breakup.
Rest of your week, you guys.
That was our mini-sode. Bye, everyone. Thank you
See
so
later.
Much for coming. Keep an eye out for Selena. Have a great week.
Seriously, bye. Just kidding. Let's get into these emails, shall we?
We're talking about season 4, episode 4, The Break Oop.
Ugh, listen, you guys, there were so many good emails this week. Like, we were up to our eyes in them. And this is a very polarizing episode for like a lot of reasons. And like a lot of them are like people like them and don't like them for about the same reasons. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like you either like think the breakup was, obviously no one is happy about the breakup, but you think it made for good TV, or they're like very hurt by it. So I was very interested in hearing all of your thoughts. Obviously they all couldn't be in this minisode today, but I just wanted to thank everyone for sending them, because I love hearing from you, and we had just so many good things to choose from. So thank you all for sending those. But let's get into this minisode, shall we? First, we have a message from Hannah.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Hannah, she, they, and I'm a big fan of the pod from the UK.
International listener!
First, I'd like to say that I listen to you guys while I work in my college library, and you crack me up so much I have to struggle not to laugh out loud in front of God and everybody. Secondly, I need to talk about the things that annoy me about this episode. Why are Blaine and Kurt scheduling their phone dates during the work/school day? No wonder they don't get much chance to talk. Blaine has like 5 minutes between classes and Kurt is actively working. We know that they are calling after school already based on makeover, so why does the inciting incident for Blaine poking a lighthouse in the biblical sense have to be Kurt doing his job? I'm also upset about the whole Eli C debacle because we don't even see this guy. If they'd had him message Blaine more than on one occasion and actually show up in the episode, maybe I could believe that Blaine could be persuaded to blame Kurt and enjoy the attention he was getting from a new guy in his life. But with this literally being some random guy who Blaine decides to poke on Facebook, which is the first time these two have interacted at all, who persuades Blaine to cheat by saying, "What's up, sexy?" I do not believe it. Blaine makes the first move on this guy, not the other way around, which in my opinion makes his cheating way worse than Kurt's. With how Blaine reacted to Kurt letting a guy flirt with him, he should not have done something this big this easily. P.S. I am on your side in the war against Hot Rachel. She's a menace, and Rachel Berry should not be sexy. She should be a loser. Love and consensual forehead kisses to you both, Hannah. Hannah, first off, I am literally obsessed with the phrase in front of God and everybody. It is my favorite phrase ever. I try to work it into daily conversation as much as possible.
I literally feel the exact same.
It is so funny.
Seriously.
Secondly, with the Eli C thing, I feel like the writers really want us to do the heavy lifting on this plot line. Like, they couldn't be bothered to... write anything, which is in their job title. Because they do, if I remember correctly, you do like Blaine opens his phone and there's like a request from Eli C, and then Blaine finally accepts it and then he pokes him, which I think is the writers trying to be like, see, there's been some interaction there before, which is why Eli is like reaching out to Blaine. But like, then like show us that there was an interaction. I completely agree, Hannah. Yeah. I think it would have made more sense if Blaine like opened his messages and we saw a bunch of unanswered messages from Eli.
We saw a dick pic.
We saw an unblurred penis at 7 p.m. on Fox.
On a Wednesday night.
No, but like, you know, if we were given a little more obvious context that like Eli has been at this for a while, that, you know, like maybe this has been something that has like crossed Blaine's mind before when he was lonely and now he's like so low that he's actually acting on it instead of like Eli, yes, friend requested him, but has not spoken to him. And then Blaine's like, poke, poke, what are you up to?
Poke, poke. It's also like, who is this guy? He doesn't even have a picture. Is this like a guy that goes to their school? I think it would have been smarter to have some sort of mysterious guy like walking around making eyes at Blaine, but them like, you know, actually like talk to each other. You know what I mean? Because I think you're right when they say the writers want us to do all the heavy lifting, because I think I assumed that they hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But there's also like maybe nothing that states that. And maybe I'm reading into it. It was a lighthouse. It wasn't even a person. They couldn't even give us a person.
For real. Straight up just like have Kurt, like we know that Kurt gets a little frisky when he's drunk. Just have like Kirk go to Scandals. And then like he's drinking and he makes eye contact with the guy.
Do you mean Blaine go to Scandals?
Yes. Blaine, thank you. Have Blaine go to Scandals. He's drinking. He makes eye contact with the guy. Yeah. That gives us all the context we need.
Totally. That's all we need. And I think this goes into my thought about what you said, Hannah, about why is this all happening at school and at work? And I think it's because we don't know Blaine's family. Mm-hmm. And these characters mostly exist in one place and they have the school set all the time. And so they would either have to like send him to Scandals or send him to Breadsticks or give him a house. He has a room.
Yeah, we saw his room last week. So like, could they not just use that set?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The show is so weird. And also, you see his room in the episode, so maybe I'm going crazy. But why are they only chatting during the daytime? Like, of course they're not connecting. They both have shit going on.
Well, in fairness to the show, we've seen Kurt ignore Blaine outside of school. Like, when he won the presidency and Kurt... Like, it's made very clear that Kurt is kind of just working all the time.
Yeah.
And I took it less as like this was their date was supposed to be today and more just like Blaine was feeling really lonely and reached out. And then it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. But it's also like, Blaine, if you're going to be like, this is Kurt's last chance, don't have the last chance be during work hours. Because even if he was being an attentive boyfriend, he probably wouldn't answer the phone.
Yeah. I don't know. Lots to think about. Hannah, thank you so much for this message. I, too, feel that Rachel Berry should not be sexy. She should be a loser.
Mm-hmm.
You gave us a loser. Keep her a loser. My God. Hannah, thank you so much. Up next, we have a message from Eve.
This is Eve Sheevey from Australia.
International listener!
Best friend of the podcast. Hi, Lena and Ian. My roommate is fully vacuuming, so if you can hear that ambient noise, that's what that is. If you can't hear it, I will cut this out. I know this has been discussed at length, but I just wanted to give my personal thoughts on Glee's downfall in season 4. While many of the issues come down to the problematic writing of plot lines and characters, specifically Rachel, I also think the show was sort of doomed from the start. Every show set in a high school has to eventually face the question of what to do when the characters graduate. Really, the only options are to end the show, get a new cast, or change the setting, e.g. move from high school to college. Obviously, Glee ended up choosing both the latter options, which was a big mistake because it essentially turned into two different shows that the writers were desperately trying to fit together but ultimately failed. But I also think Glee was backed into a corner in some ways and couldn't really avoid its inevitable flop. Without ending the show, that is, which would have been the right call, but what's done is done. I think the issue with Glee, as opposed to other shows set in high school, is that Glee specifically revolves around a club. I think the whole idea of the Glee Club is just as meaningful as the characters themselves, so it was kind of impossible to change the show's setting because we'd miss the core of the show and it would no longer feel like Glee. On the other hand, minor spoilers. Three of the main characters all end up in New York, Rachel, Kurt, and Santana. So it was also impossible not to change the setting and follow them to New York, because as the audience, we become attached to these characters. So this is why I think Glee was doomed from the start and kind of had no other option but to split the show in two. Minor spoilers again. I also think it's why season 6, while not great, was so much better than seasons 4 and 5, because it brought the characters, new and old, back to the Glee Club and the show felt whole again. Eve.
I agree with all of this. I absolutely agree. I've always had like this theory about TV shows that's really difficult, where you like have this really great idea for an initial season. And I think my go-to example for this is like The Good Place. Spoilers for The Good Place if you haven't seen The Good Place. But like, it's a great idea that is immediately like revealed at the end of the first season. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, what do you do after that? And when you do a show in a school... School does not last forever unless you're like Bart and Lisa Simpson and like the rules of the world don't exist. You know, like school just doesn't last forever. So it's like, if you're so right when you say like you kind of have to know what you're going to do when you start it so you can tell that story. And like everything we know about Glee is that it flies by the seat of its damn pants and they don't know what's going to happen episode to episode, let alone like, you know, season by season. And, you know, that's something that keeps this show like hip and young with the kids, but it's also like, you know, its downfall. And I think you're totally right. Like they try and have their cake and eat it too. And you can't choose both. You can't choose all the options, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And I completely agree, Eve. You know, I love Rachel Berry. She's my favorite character in Bree season 4. But the show isn't Rachel Berry. The show is Glee. And the show for me never felt correct when it stopped having the Glee Club be the central focus. And I think you're completely... I was literally about to say, I think you're completely Lena, right? Can you confirm that you're completely Lena? I think you're completely right, Lena.
You're completely Lena, right?
You're not. There's no lizard in there, right? You're not a lizard of Waverly Place.
I am a part of the lizard
race. But I think you're completely right that these writers did not plan ahead at all, because God, I think like just axing all of your main characters and then bringing in a whole slew of main characters and then like, yes, keeping like a few side characters, but like having that big of a transition is like inviting the fan base to lose interest in the show. Yeah. And if these writers had been any smarter, they would have spent season 3 fleshing out these characters that were going to have to lead the Glee Club in season 4.
Yeah.
Instead of, because like, it's so wild to me that like Marley and Jake get brought in and become like the leads of the Glee Club. We don't know anything about them. Like, what should have happened is they fleshed out characters in season 3 who then become the leads of the Glee Club in season 4, and then Marley and Jake are brought in as secondary characters and we get to know them better and then they become the leads. But then when you just do like a 180 of like, okay, Rachel and Finn were the leads and now Marley and Jake are the leads.
Now we need
never
a couple
met
at the helm. Yeah, totally.
It's suddenly like, oh, so this is a reboot. Okay.
Yeah, totally. I love this email. I love all these thoughts. Thank you so much, Eve. Up next, we have a message from Drew.
Hi, Ian and Lena. I didn't know.
Sorry I said your name like that, Drew. Oh my gosh. I just think that name is so good and it sounds so good.
Drew's offended. They just messaged me. They said, I can't believe it.
No,
they said,
Drew,
you have lost a listener today.
Drew, please.
Hey, Ian and Lena. I didn't know this was sort of an unpopular opinion, but everyone on the Discord was very excited about the breakup, and I'm not sure I really like it. This isn't to say it's a bad episode, even. I just find it very over the top that every couple fights at the same time. I know that's a teen drama trope, but some of the conversations are just too much. It gets a little melodramatic, especially with Rachel, and is almost too much to process for me personally, which is less a criticism and just something that makes it difficult for me to watch. I do think why I don't enjoy this episode has a lot to do with what I like from TV in general. My favorite genre by far is comedies, so when Glee, especially with New York content, takes the hard turn into serious drama, it loses me a little. It doesn't help how forced parts of this episode feel. Wemma is obviously just there to fit the theme, but I honestly feel the same way about Finchel. They broke up in season 3, we all saw it, but the show can't do any theme/assignment and not make Finchel a part of it. Think of how many tribute episodes have a frankly boring Finchel duet. Yes, I think Finn visiting New York would happen, he and Kurt are brothers, and it would be a point of contention, but it's weird how heavily they're featured in comparison with Clayne when they already broke up. Rachel sings more than Kurt, who was cheated on. What happened to her? And then she's angry at Finn at McKinley, which is fair because I think with their history and how their relationship ended, there would be issues. Don't get me wrong. But it's so weird watching all these Lea Michele crying through her hot Rachel makeup scenes when the Finchel stuff in this episode doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And maybe that's on me and my issues with understanding others' emotions, but that's how I feel. I wasn't expecting this to become a Finchel rant because I actually wanted to share my thoughts on Clayne, as was prompted, since they're my favorite couple. I agree on everything you said about Blaine. Not only is it not something I believe he'd do, but it feels like a reverse Deus Ex Machina. some random man is messaging him on Facebook. Like, Kurt running into a funny guy at the music store feels natural, but why is Blaine Anderson, who said, "How are we as virgins meant to follow that?" a year ago, getting propositioned online? It feels sketchy, and I don't like it. But beyond that, I totally agree with Lena. A favorite couple breaking up makes for very good content, especially in this case, where this is really when we get to know who Blaine is without Kurt. Honestly, as someone who loves these two together and separately, I just wish it was better executed. Yes, they are very attached to each other, and that may delay a breakup, but Blaine specifically seems to have attachment and abandonment issues, and I can see his anger at being alone causing a blow-up without poking anyone in the biblical sense. But I also could never hate Blaine for cheating, because that's another Tuesday at McKinley.
Right!
Sincerely, one of those people who never shuts up on your Discord server, Drew, they, them, from Pennsylvania. Show us Blaine's home life challenge. Like,
right?
Truly, you're so right. We know that Blaine has issues with his dad. He doesn't have a good relationship with his dad. We know that he, like, left his old school because he was being bullied so hard. Like, there's enough seeds there that if they showed us that Blaine... Oh, and we know that he has, like, an estranged relationship with his brother. Like, there's enough seeds there that if we really leaned into, like, oh, Blaine feels really alone at home. And so Kurt blowing him off is really triggering. And especially if we had a scene where Blaine is trying to talk about, like, something that happened at home. And Kurt just kind of, like, blows it off, you know? Like, Kurt's kind of like, oh, yeah, haha, and then, like, talks about his work life. That feels like enough justification that I could be like, oh, I can buy for that, like, a blow-up would come out of this. Drew, you're smarter than the writers of this show.
No, for real, that has, like, opened up Blaine as a character for me. Even the idea of, like, you know, seeing, like, anything from his home life being, like, you know, echoed in his relationships. Like, that is, oh my God. Like, of course. This show sucks. Oh my gosh, Drew. I absolutely agree. Like, and all of that could be real, and he could, like, feel really abandoned. And if we, like, knew anything more than, like, what we have to, like, infer ourselves, oh my gosh. Like, all of that would make sense without Blaine poking someone in the biblical sense. Oh my gosh. Drew, thanks so much for this message.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Up next, we have a message from Marin.
Hey, Lena and Ian. It's Marin Sheher from Canada.
International listener!
And I've always theorized that they chose mine as a song to sing just for the drama of it all, because it's probably about Cory Monteith. Like, we already know the writers love to throw the actors' personal lives into the show. But then when Lena mentioned that Santana was originally going to sing a Frank Ocean song, it just confirmed my suspicions even more. Also, the fact that Ryan Murphy wrote this episode, and I'm pretty sure he loves the drama the most out of all the writers. So, like, it's not hard to believe that he was just waiting for the perfect moment to use this song about one of the main cast members. Now, you may be thinking, wouldn't Taylor know they were going to use her song? Well, as many people who have researched SwiftGron know, just a couple of episodes later, Taylor tweeted that she had some, quote, insider information that her song would be played in that night's episode of Glee, but there was no song by her in it. Therefore, we can assume that it was her record label or publisher dealing with the rights for the song, and Taylor didn't know they were using it till she watched that episode. Anyways, this is all just speculation on my part about drama that happened a decade ago. Hope y'all are having a great week, and Ian, major congrats on being cast in the Friends musical. BRB telling my best friend about that because her two fave shows are Glee and Friends, and I've been begging her to listen to y'all's podcast for ages, especially since she follows y'all on TikTok, and we tag each other in y'all's vids all the time. Hopefully she'll start now. XOXO, go piss, girl. Marin, thank you so much. I hope your friend does start listening to the podcast. What the heck?
What the heck?
Especially now that I'll be making like very vague references to Friends once an episode.
Totally.
So,
and I'm going to watch a bunch of Friends to prepare to go see my friend and the Friends
and
musical.
I sent Lena a list of 18 episodes of Friends to watch to understand the musical.
And you know what? I'm a good friend with an HBO Max subscription. I'm going to do it. Do you know what episode she tweeted that about?
No. Was it a Diana one? Uh-huh. Was it Thanksgiving or was it Naked?
I Do.
Oh, it was I Do.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about that more. We will talk about that later. I don't know who has the glax on that one, but we could do a whole Swift Grand like moment.
Shoot. The Swift Grax. Shoot.
Swift Grax. Yeah. That's how I know that Taylor Swift will never want to meet me. Because I'm a Swift Grand truther. Oh, anyway.
I totally buy that Ryan Murphy would pick the songs. It was about Corey Mond. Mm-hmm. I just like Gall. I don't know Ryan Murphy, everyone. I've never met the man. I've never worked with the man. So take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I do just like, as a rule, try to, you know, like assume the best out of people until proven wrong, especially like people that you've never met. But I just feel like the more that I hear about Ryan Murphy, and not just like rumors on the internet, but like from the mouths of people that know him, I'm like, stop proving everything right.
I know, right? Totally. So, like, I feel the same.
You know, who knows if that's actually why mine ended up in this episode. But like, I've seen enough tweets from the man and I've heard enough stuff about him from people who would know that I fully believe that that is something that could have happened.
I know. That's the thing is, I hate that feeling so much. Like, I always feel like, especially with Ryan Murphy and the writers of this show, that I get the vibe that they like obviously I'm sure they enjoyed doing the show, but like it's something that they resent. It makes me feel like the redheaded stepchild of Ryan Murphy. You know what I mean? Like just for liking Glee, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I immediately feel bad vibes just coming from him, even though he doesn't know I exist at all. I'm just a part of like this fandom. But I'm always like, oh, he probably like that. That's just probably me, like, you know, thinking things and like, you know, making things up or like reading into things that aren't real. But the thing is, the more I like look into the show, the more I learn from like people who've been on this show, the more I learn from like people who've worked on this show, the more I read, is that is all proven true. You know, everything like is all proven true, that he's just like kind of a butthead and would totally like put this into like, you know, with Corey Monteith or with Taylor Swift and, you know, send her a text being like, hey, come watch this show. I don't know who sent her that message, but I don't know.
Hey.
Ryan Murphy. Marin, thank you so much for this message. But what? This message. Up next, we have a message from Juliana.
Hello, Lena and Ian. My name is Juliana, she, her. I'm from New York. And I have been a Gleek since 2009. What's up? I'm going to come over, borrow a cup of sugar, Juliana. Rudy, Juliana.
What?
New York.
No, I come.
Come on, topical.
No, I understand it. Watch out, easy.
And I have been a Gleek since 2009, for better or worse. I'm sorry, Juliana, that I called you that. First of all.
Taking a breath.
I want to say thank you so much for this podcast, and especially for standing Rachel Berry. And by Rachel Berry, I mean season one, reindeer sweater wearing, speed walking down the aisle, screlting Don't Rain on My Parade, weirdo Rachel Berry. That girl truly has such a special place in my heart, and I share your frustrations with hot Rachel, even if her $1 million L'Oreal sponsorship deal hair looks amaze. I have been waiting for the right moment to email you, because I often feel that you articulate so many of my Glee thoughts better than I can. but I wanted to share a bit of my experience in the Glee fandom, especially at the time that this episode aired. In anticipation of this episode, I stalked the archive of my Glee Tumblr back in October 2012. No, I will not be sharing the URL. The anticipation for this episode was insane. For weeks, I was reblogging spoilers, teasers, key smashes of sheer terror about how this episode would play out. We were out here begging television journalists to tell us how many kisses each couple would have and analyzing grainy videos of the actors filming outside in NYC. Also, anyone who was deep in the Tumblr fandom at the time will tell you about the ship wars that went down in 2012. People were fighting for their lives. The Glee fandom was really like three sub-fandoms, Finchel, Klain, and Britanna. Maybe four, because Faberi, to be honest. I was personally heavily invested in the Finchel fandom, lol, but I will never forget Ryan Murphy tweeting that only two of the three couples that broke up in this episode would be endgame. Of course, this sparked wars among shippers. It was brutal. Juliana, we're going to take a break to say Ryan Murphy has a god complex.
Seriously, he's doing this like we are rats in a cage.
Like we are a rat king.
We're a rat king.
And he is on the Waverly Place subway platform just throwing crumbs at us. watching us all try and run in different directions, but we can't because our tails are fused together. Back to Juliana. I have a ton of complicated thoughts and feelings about the show, but one thing I've always thought, and even wrote a research paper about in college years ago, is that Glee was an experiment in social television. Twitter and social media in general was new when Glee started airing, and Glee was one of the first shows that had to navigate that changed relationship between show and fans that came as a result of social media. Fans felt entitled to certain aspects of the show, even including the actors, as evidenced by invasive real-life shipping, which was only strengthened by things like Britanna being born basically entirely from fan input. Sometimes, like with Britanna, that was a good thing. But I often wonder how much of Glee's writing flops came from fan service, pandering, the writers trying to be talked about on social media, especially when you look at the focus on ships that wasn't present in season one. I'm a firm believer that season one, but specifically the front 13, is the best version of Glee. And even though I like the breakup as an episode and think it's probably the best of season four, it's just jarring when you compare it to the front 13, because the front 13 would never have had an episode like this. It almost feels like fan fiction. I love a lot of things in this episode, but it almost feels like a perfect example of creating story for the sole purpose of being talked about on social media. A lot of the drama felt manufactured. Blaine cheating? They could have broken up without that. And even though I was a Finchel stan, I do think this Finchel breakup was a good thing. But even that feels somewhat manufactured because it required Finn to backtrack on the season 3 finale car scene, which in my opinion was a great moment of growth for him. And clearly this episode did get people talking on social media. The social media ruined Glee argument also applies to the fact that spectacle started to get prioritized over story as early as the back nine of season one, as well as the amount of hot button issues covered by the show that got people talking on social media. I also wanted to add that the Finchel breakup scene in the auditorium continues to hit just like it did 10 years ago. When I was rewatching the episode last night, I literally kept rewinding because I was in awe of how every single one of Lea Michele's line readings was absolutely iconic. I used to go around saying, "I didn't do Brody," constantly in 2012, and I love the way she repeats, "I hated you," like it just hits. I love everything you said about that scene, and I have so many thoughts about Finchel that I will save for another time. That's all for now, even though I have 5 million thoughts about the show floating around my brain at all times. Thank you again for this pod. As a 20-something theater kid whose dream job would literally be Glee Scholar, I could not appreciate it more. Consensual forehead kisses, of course. Bestie of the pod, Juliana. Juliana, you are speaking my language in this
Seriously.
Email.
Seriously. Oh my God.
You are so, like, we've talked about a lot how, like, you know, these writers, like, loved attention and they were like, we're molding America's youth and whatever, whatever. But, like, it never really occurred to me that, like, I remember the first time I heard about Twitter and Twitter being a big thing was spring of 2009. And then the first season of Glee started airing fall of 2009. And I think you are so correct that so many of Glee's problems came from the fact that the creators had easy access to fan opinions and fans mm-hmm. had easy access to the creators. And these three creators of this show really wanted to get people talking all the time. Yeah. Literally what you said about how after the front 13, Glee suddenly is like so focused in fanships. My brain exploded out of the back of my head. Like, Kyle.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, you're smart.
No, totally. I like don't even know how to add to this because I absolutely agree. It feels like to me, like one of the first shows that like really went in on being like going viral.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Where
it's like they totally were getting the whole vibe of like the more people who are talking on the internet about it, the more people who are watching, more people who were like discoursing about it, the more people who like gave a shit, you know what I mean? And they totally capitalized on that and like took advantage of it. And like we see that all the time with shows now where it's like, you know, on Survivor, all they do is give you a hashtag so you can talk about it online. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is old hat now, but like this was one of the first shows that really like I remember like was like so up in the social media of it all.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, them trying, it's just like Glee was just so, you're right. I can't add to it. It's literally, I'm just repeating what you said or what Juliana said. This email is so well thought out. I do want to just shout out Juliana, then a screenshot, a few of like stuff she reblogged on Tumblr when this episode was airing, which this episode, just a reminder, aired on October 4th, 2012. Here are some highlights of what she screenshotted and sent to us. The water levels will rise on Earth on October 4th because of the Glee fandom. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes Ryan Murphy kills it instead. Mm-hmm. When are they going to change the name of the show to Agony? And then this, like she said, that they were all begging for a kiss count of how many times the couples mm-hmm. would kiss in this episode. And there's this is a tweet that was like screenshotted and put on Tumblr that says Glee kiss count, Finchel 4, Britannia 2, Klain 1, Wemma 0. Note, this does not include flashbacks. Hashtag the breakup. P.S. Love you guys. Shoot. Do you ever think about watching TV back in the day and you just like would talk about it at the water cooler?
Yeah.
Instead of like
your job,
be like, I have to figure out what the entire world's opinion of this episode was.
Totally.
As it happens.
I remember we would always talk about Glee like by our lockers in junior high. I remember exactly where I was, like where we would sit, like right by the lockers. Oh my gosh. We'd always just like wax on about it. Which sub fandom are you in?
Of those three?
Yeah.
You already know I'm a Finchel shipper.
I know. I do know.
I just, like, truly, I imprinted on season one Finchel, specifically the front 13. Just like that dynamic is like
imprinted.
That dynamic is like so precious to me that like it can fully be hot Rachel and it can fully be a toxic relationship. And yet something about me is like, remember when they had the picnic in the auditorium?
Not imprinted.
What? That's what that relationship is.
No, totally.
They can do anything. And I'm like,
there, everything Jacob, you're
tethers. I feel like everything is a string tethering me to one word. Finchel.
You already know which one I'm in.
Are you Britannia?
Yeah, but sub Britannia. What the hell is that called?
Barry. For Barry. Yeah, I forgot that they're in the fourth. And yes.
Yeah. Oh, Juliana. However you say your name.
Rudy. Keep going. That. We're not gonna acknowledge it. Keep going.
Anyway, thank you so much for this message. Literally, I can't add more to it. I love this message. Up next, we have a message from Eve.
This is from Eve. Two, she's actually named after the first Eve in this email chain.
Are there two Eves in here?
There are two Eves. So Eve 2.
I thought you said go ahead and add in the Eve 1, and I was like, I already thought I did.
Too many Eves. Too many Eves, too many Eves. Hello, Lean and Ian. I have some very random thoughts about the breakup. My first thought is, why did Blaine have no items when he came to see Kurt? He clearly knew he was going to stay a night because he did, yet he didn't have any luggage with him. Like, he didn't even have a rucksack with a toothbrush or hair gel or a change of clothes, pajamas or anything. Get it together, Glee. There's no way he came bringing zero items. Also, I think they broke up in Central Park, and I have zero knowledge of New York because I'm from England.
International listener!
But wherever they are, it's established that Kurt and Rachel's apartment is far out from when Brody gets the train. That did they all have to travel back together in silence? Did they get the tube or train or taxi? Did they all sit together just not speaking, knowing the other couple just broke up? Also, I obviously understand why Kurt let Blaine stay. He's not going to throw him out alone in New York. But there's no way I'd be sleeping in a bed with him after he cheated. I just think that would be too much of an awkward silence. All my love, Eve 2. Oh my gosh, she even signed it Eve 2. She knew.
That's so interesting.
That's wow. Wild. How did you know?
Literally, how did they get home? How did they get home? I want to see the awkward train ride a la A Marriage Story. Where like one of them is sitting and one of them is leaning against a door. And like one of them is like standing over here. One of them is holding a pole. Like I want to see that awkward train ride. You know what I mean? Because we've made that trek from about Midtown to, you know, freaking Brooklyn. It takes a minute. It takes like 40 minutes. That's an awkward train ride. Was it a taxi?
Shoot,
I'm sure it wasn't.
No, they're too poor. They took the subway. Yeah. That's why I love this email, because I don't think it's like a flaw in the writing that they broke up in Central Park. I just love that mental image of just like everyone is like, well, we have to get back to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And they're all just kind of like not like they will like look at each other and then start crying again and being like, oh, I have to get my composure. Yeah. I am on public transit. Dang.
No one has composure on public transit.
That's true. I cry more on the subway than I cry anywhere else. It's my go-to place.
I know. It's something about the subway where it's like everyone kind of minds their business and you can totally cry.
Yeah.
It's like you're in private. That's the thing is, like, I want to see that train ride where they're all crying and singing Don't Speak. If I could change this show.
Also, Blaine showing up without luggage, it just, like, annoys me on, like, a prop department level that I'm like, give him a backpack. The door opens. He has no backpack. He had time to freaking buy a bunch of flowers. It is possible that he has a suitcase that is off camera.
Sure.
Like, behind the door. But just put him in a backpack.
Silly on the props department. Eve 2, thanks so much. So cool you were named after Eve 1. up next, we have a message from Hayes.
Hi, Thornstorm and Ian. I'm Hayes, any pronoun. Pronouns. Very long time listener, first time writing in. I've always meant to, but forget to send my thoughts and feelings in time. I'm sad I missed the era of voicemails. I wrote most of this weeks ago and didn't realize till now I got your email address wrong. So sorry for the thoughts on episodes past and the sprawling nature of this message. First of all, I'm so proud of you both for moving to the big city. It's a tough transition, but you're both doing amazing, and you have each other, which is huge. Oh my god, Nikki Anders was in Avalon? Holy shit, I'm losing my mind. I'm an ex-church kid, and Avalon was my first concert. I had all their CDs. Holy shit, I have been in the same room as Nikki Anders. Ian, I'm so excited for you to be Chandler/everyone. I think you're perfect for it. I'm so glad they didn't make you Ross just because you're tall. You're a much better Chandler, and that seems like the better role. Lena Thornstorm, LPC, you sweet, sweet angel baby. I am not even mad at these bamboo sheet ads because you are such an incredible voice actress. Seriously, girl, make a reel and start getting paid. That ad is profesh. If I can go off on a Lena tangent, I think you're fucking awesome and I am so, so proud of you. I've been listening to old episodes lately while I work, and it's really shown me how much you've really evolved into a much more self-assured, assertive person these last 2 years. It's amazing to see. You used to sort of apologize for your thoughts, say your opinions in a question, and you don't do that anymore. You're declarative, and I love it. You remind me a lot of my best friend. I'm the Ian in the relationship. and she's recently gone through a similar evolution, so I'm just really in my feelings about it. And did you know you laugh like Ian now? In addition, I am an Angel hater as well, and if you guys don't do a Buffy podcast or a Succession podcast, I will kick every chair I can find. Seriously, though, leverage the success of this podcast into a subject with a wider audience, and whatever you make, it'll blow up. Hit me up if so, I'll manage your online marketing. I didn't watch any Glee Project, but I listened to all those episodes and still loved it, if that tells you anything. That's all I got. Bye, guys. You're going to do great in New York. XOXO, Gossip Girl. I'm really loving the amping up of the Gossip Girls that we have been getting recently.
So many people. It's because you always do it and you told people. And it's also pretty inspired and I laugh every single time. I love when people do it. Hayes, I just got to tell you, I got this email in a pretty short moment in my week. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to cry. And it was one of those moments that, like, you know, when someone points out to you that, like, you've actually, like, progressed in something, that, like, you finally realize you're not, like, a turd. Do you know what I mean? Where, like, it takes some time for you to realize that you've, like, you know, progressed past something. And I remember starting this podcast being, like, so scared and so shy all the time. Like, I would, like, be up at night just, like, so scared. And, like, I remember, like, I would always, like, wait for you to say your opinions first. And I was always, like, so mean to myself on the podcast. And I remember there was, like, one day, and I think I even told you about it, I was like, I just need to stop that. Like, there's no reason for me to do that. There's, like, no reason for me to, like, be so mean to myself on the podcast. Like, no one needs to hear that. And I don't need to have that, like, on the internet. So I was like, I made, like, a pretty conscious choice to stop. And, like, maybe, like, people, you know, feel like this is a silly thing for me to get so emotional about. But I don't know, like, moving to New York, I've been like, God, what am I doing with my life? Like, where am I? What am I doing? And I was like, and I saw this and I saw where I was 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, in my dream city doing what I love, doing this podcast, and I'm a more self-assured person. And anyway, Hayes, you pointed that out to me, and I can't tell you how much I needed to hear that. So thank you.
I don't think that's a silly thing to get emotional about at all. Also, reading this email, I was thinking about how, like you said, in our first few episodes, it was always like, you know, I always got the vibe that, like, you did not want to have a differing opinion from mine. And it was always kind of like, if you expressed an opinion and then I disagreed with it, you'd be like, oh, well, like, my opinion was probably wrong then. And then, like, spoiler alert for Wednesday's episode, but we have fully, like, opposite end of the spectrum opinions on that episode. And at no point are you like, you know what, Ian, you're right. My opinion about this episode was incorrect.
Yeah.
So I completely agree with Hayes. You have really, I literally can't compliment someone without sounding sarcastic. I almost started singing it.
I can't do it either.
We're not going to sing this, but you've really come into your own. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of you. Thank you. There's so much for it that you've accomplished. And let's talk more about it. But I just got to say one more thank you to Hayes. Seriously. Thank you to everyone who's also been along this journey for me. Wow. Really watching me grow up, y'all. But Hayes, for real, thank you so much. XOXO, Gossip Girl. Next, let's talk to Delaney, and then we'll compliment Ian.
We also don't have to compliment Ian.
I love complimenting Ian.
All right. Delaney says,
Chandler fucking Bing. Are you fucking kidding me? Ian fucking Allred?
I'm crying in Michael's craft store, violent, sexy, evil, boring, and in his off-Broadway debut era, feeling like a proud mom, or I guess more like a proud little sibling, LOL. I've always wanted to go to New York, and now I want to even more. I need to see you in the show. It sounds incredible. P.S. OMG, yours, mine, and ours. That unlocked a memory, and I hadn't listened to the Patreon one yet, but when you said the lighthouse thing, I got it right away. Delaney, they, them. Delaney, I literally have this email screenshot on my phone because it's like one of my favorite things I've ever read. Also, violent, sexy, evil, boring, and in his off-Broadway debut era. Dang, that should be my bio in the playbill. It's not because I already had to submit it, so it's not.
What did you say? I'll read it.
I have like Ian Allred is thrilled to be making his off-Broadway debut. Past credits include blank, blank, blank. And then I say he is also, unfortunately, another white guy with a podcast. And then I do a little plug for Recovering Gleek.
Yes. Score. I wanted you to so bad. All I want for you to do is like, you know, get us your off-Broadway clout.
Shoot. No, I want to make sure everyone who sees that show listens to this podcast.
Good. You should like exclusively wear your merch out the stage door. You guys aren't going to stage door, right?
No, there's not really a stage door.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like the third floor of a like multi-level theater that has like theaters or studios on every floor. So there's not like a, this is like the street, the door that everyone like waits outside of. Yeah.
Yeah. When this episode comes out, it'll be tomorrow that you start.
Oh my God.
Previews, right? I'm so excited for you, dude.
Shoot.
But seriously, like I have to say to everyone listening, no one on earth deserves more good things than Ian. He is easily the like most talented, hardest working, most amazing person I've ever met. I'm so excited for you, buddy. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
But it's true. Like, seriously, when when you got that call back and it went well, I was like, well, there's no way he's not going to get it. He's awesome. You know what I mean? And like, just like, I think you just have all the makings of just, I don't know. You like, of course. Like, of course this is all working out for you. You deserve it. I'm so excited for you.
Bless you. You're the best. Thank you.
You're the best. I can't wait to see it.
Also, shoot. I mean, I don't think people super want to listen to like, and then Ian and Lena compliment each other for 10 minutes, but we're going to do a little bit of it. I don't want to be like, and I'm just going to repeat everything you said, but I've said this to your face before. I've said this on the podcast before. I have said this for years, like gun to my head. If someone was like, list the most talented people, you know, you would be like, probably the first person that would come out of my mouth that I was like, oh, Lena is the most talented person I know. I think you're incredible. I think you're amazing. Because also,
someday
you are.
I'll be off Broadway and we'll do the same thing.
Can you believe? Delaney, thank you so much for this message. Also, a lot of people in their emails were saying congratulations, sending me stuff. People were like DM'd me on Instagram. People were like commenting on posts that I did about it. It is a very exciting thing for me. And it's just very gratifying and very exciting to hear other people also be excited about it. And again, I say, if you come and see the show, I'd love to know that you were coming to see the show. Yeah. I understand that New York is far away from most people, but if you like live in New York, or if you are taking a trip to New York and you happen to stop by, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be there at least once.
Heck yeah.
So maybe you'll catch both of us. That's not a pull. Ian will be there all the time and he'll be amazing. Oh, I'm so excited. Gosh, everything's coming up roses for you and me. I know. Heck it. Yeah. I feel it in my bones. It's Aries season, and good things always happen to me during Aries season.
Sure. Amen.
Yeah. Well, April's coming up. Anyway, Delaney, thank you so much for this message. Seriously, thank you to everyone who, it's gratifying as a friend seeing so much like love for your friend happening, and seriously, like overwhelming stuff. It was so like fun for me to read as a person. I can't even imagine what you were going through, bud, but a fun time. That's your minisode, y'all. Are you ready to play the relative pitch game?
Heck yeah. I think it's me this week first.
I think so.
Okay. So we got Barely Breathing by Duncan Sheik. Did you know he wrote that musical that we all love? American Psycho. Which starred...
That joke was good.
Which starred the Glee star we all love, Josh Groff.
Josh, you.
That joke was good. It was ruined by the fact that I didn't know that Duncan Sheik wrote Spring Awakening.
It's okay.
I ruined that joke for you.
I think it came across fine.
And then we got Give Your Heart a Break by Demi Lovato, not Selena Gomez, Lizards of Waverly Place. That snake woman.
Not on this podcast.
That snake woman would have thrown a fit. And then we got Teenage Dream by Katy Perry. Don't Speak by No Doubt. Mine by Taylor Swift, and The Scientist by Coldplay.
Ooh, a bangers, bangers, bangers on bangers. Genuinely. In this episode. What does Ian want to sing? What do I want?
I was going to say it doesn't have to be what I want to sing.
You should sing. I want you to sing the Taylor Swift song.
I was going
to
give that to you. All right, let's hit it.
I knew that, and that's why I would have been too embarrassed if I got it wrong.
Do you remember we were sitting there by the water? You put your arm around me for the first time. You made a rebel of a careless man's careful daughter. You are the best thing that's ever been mine, Corey Monteith. I always thought it was weird that she said that at the end of the line. But now knowing that it's probably about Corey Monteith, I'm like, oh, that's why she says his name in the song. Of
course. It all clicks together.
Obviously.
Obviously.
So I think that, do you remember we were sitting there by the water, is C to B flat to A flat to B flat to C. You put your arm around me for the first time. Okay, hear me out. This is a W for Ian because I am close, which doesn't happen. I am a half step sharp. That was B A G. All right. Well, I was going to give you that. So what am I going to do? Oh, you know what? Don't speak. No doubt, no doubt, no doubt.
No doubt.
Sorry, Coldplay. I know The Scientist is like the song of the episode, but shoot.
Not to us. Okay.
Does The Scientist have people dramatically lying in bed next to each other? I think not.
I think not. I think it's, you and me, we used to be together, every day together, always. Don't speak, I know just what you're saying, so please stop explaining. Don't tell me cause it hurts.
Don't tell me cause it hurts. Okay, so you think you and me, ba 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 ba, is F, G, F, E flat, and then I think like back to F and then C, something like that, but it starts on an F.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, that's, you're correct. My gosh.
I knew it. As soon as it started, I said, I won that.
Yeah, you did.
Honestly, W's for both of us. That's your mini-sode, you guys. Listen, you got a fun one coming to you Wednesday.
Heck yeah, heck yeah.
We're talking about the bread roll you were born to play. I kept misspelling roll, and I was like, I'm talking about bread here. It's a fun one. Spoiler, we disagree. So we want to hear your thoughts, too. You can send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
All right. Love you all so much. If you want to support this podcast with your words, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We have seen an influx of that recently happening, which we're very grateful for. We have also seen an influx of more people listening to the podcast, and we do not think that's mutually exclusive. So thank you so much. Please continue to do that.
Definitely.
If you want to support us financially, we would love it. You can join our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. You can also, if you subscribe, get some bonus content out of it, baby.
Mm-hmm. Lots of bonus content. And if you're a patron for 3 months, we'll send you an exclusive sticker.
Heck yeah.
If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us at recoveringgleek_podcast on TikTok and also Instagram. But on Twitter, it's a little different. It's just recoveringgleek.
All right.
So, yeah.
Love you so much. Thank you for being here. See you Wednesday.
See you Wednesday. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. I hope all goes well for you. You deserve it. Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead.
Go spread some mini glee. Bye.
Go spread some mini glee. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.